Well, the song we just sang was about parents, and tomorrow is Father's Day, a day when the family is encouraged to take some time to let Dad know how much he's appreciated. I remember one particular Father's Day that was one of my favorite Daddy's days. And it was maybe a little unusual because, you know, normally there's the concept of maybe they'll make you breakfast or they'll take you out for a meal or take you to your favorite movie where you get to pick, you know, that kind of thing. But there was one year I was just overwhelmed with things that are going along in my life and the property that we have. And we had this big pile of bricks in the back of the property. Just piled up. The builders didn't use them, and it wasn't nicely stacked. And I said, do you really want to know what I want on Father's Day? I said, I want those bricks stacked so I can mow around them, and so they don't look so bad to the neighbors because they were kind of close to the neighbor's house. And they said, well, sure, Dad, we'll do that. And so Leslie and Callie and Gabriel, they all went out there. And we all stacked them together, and we spent about 2 hours. We didn't kill ourselves. It wasn't hard work, but 2 hours together making Dad's life easier. And I'll always remember that and be very appreciative for what they did. So this holiday, like so many other holidays, is set aside as a time to show honor to somebody. In this case, Dad. In others, it might be mom or our boss, even former presidents who have served this country. Days will be set aside to remember and to honor what they have done or what they are doing for others. And as with all man-made holidays, we can run into the danger of hypocrisy. Do we lavish upon Dad or mom or somebody else, gifts accompanied by words of devotion and praise, only to spend the other 364 days of the year showing less respect and honor? You know, I want to go to my movie every day. Oh, wait, no. That's not what I meant. Of course, Dad's not going to feel genuinely appreciated if he's not otherwise honored throughout the other days of the year. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Let's read something here. Matthew chapter 15. We'll start in verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." He answered and said to them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death." A really strong punishment. "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, 'Whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God,' then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying," and this is paraphrasing, he was paraphrasing from Isaiah 29, verse 8, Matthew 15, verse 8, "These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." So we could even set aside time to honor somebody when we don't really honor them in life, just as an example. So we might gather from these scriptures and others that to show honor is not only a day set aside, but an ongoing behavior. Christ goes on to explain in the book of Luke the extent of devotion we should have toward God by comparing it to love toward our families. We go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Well, that word hate is a very strong word. Does it really mean hate? Does God want you to hate anybody? Well, we can look in Matthew chapter 10 real quickly. Matthew chapter 10. And we'll see it in a form of perspective. And I'll give a little consideration here about what that might mean. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He who loves father or mother more than me. So that would mean they love their father and mother, and they love Jesus, but they love mother and father and mother more than me, is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Here he's not saying hate. You know, I was thinking about this. Why would he use the word hate? And people might, you know, have said, and it could be, that he was simply using hyperbole, making a very clear statement of the value of following Christ. But have you ever chosen between two people or two families or a group of people? You could say, taken aside. What has the other group thought of you? What do they think you do towards them? They think you hate them. So there is that response that often happens when we do make a decision that we have to do something that we can feel hated or be hated. Or I should say they think we hate them when really it's a matter of what our devotion is. How do we put Christ first in our life? How do we put our Father in heaven first? To put it more simply, how do you and I put God first? What does it mean to put God first? Is God first in priority with lesser and lesser attention to other lesser priorities? God's number one. This area in your life is number two. This area in your life is number three. And this is four. You might have heard, you know, God first, family, job, your recreation, priorities, right? Is God first and all others second? God's number one, spouse and children number two, boss is number two, my hobbies are number two. In other words, God is always first. If you're ever required to make a choice, you always choose God's way, right? That's another way to look at it. Or is God first in how you deal with all your priorities in life? I'm calling this two for one. Two for one, that's the title. All of the number twos, so to speak, all of these other things in your life, do you treat them like your number one, their number one? Do you treat them like you would treat God? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Does that make sense? Okay. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. I'm going to read through 40. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I, this is Jesus, I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Many situations here, many conditions. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. We are required. And what I mean by required, the Spirit of God will urge us toward this, to express our honor and respect for God, our love for God, in everything we do, in spending time with our families, in how we do our work or our job, even in our own personal recreation, right? Some things people do in this world for personal recreation, we know not to do because we want to honor God. It's a two-for-one deal. You've heard that when people are advertising and they want to sell you something and bring you in. Two-for-one. We could say that God is number one, but that God our Father and Jesus our brother cannot tell the difference between how we would behave toward all that comes second to God. Does that make sense? God's first, everybody else is second. But when God comes, when Jesus comes to this earth, he says to us, well done, because you treated me this way when you treated anybody like you would treat me. When you put clothes on the naked and when you fed the hungry. You've all heard the recommendation to put God first, then family, then job, and it goes on. Sometimes they're different. And this is helpful advice for helping us manage priorities of time. Job is third in the list, or somewhere down the list, but it pretty much takes the cake on monopolizing our time. So it's not about the time itself. So the advice is helpful in reminding us not to invest even more time into our work at the expense of our better priorities, our families, and our God. The concept that God is first and all others should be second is also helpful advice on where we should stand, that if we are challenged, we will always choose God. Yes, we will even choose God over family. As an example, Jesus even invited disciples to leave all of their responsibilities in life, good things, family and profession, to follow him in ministry. You and I will always be challenged in this life to choose something over God, but remembering that everything is always second to God can help us make the right decision, no matter how painful that decision is for the moment. But besides these two approaches, hearkening back to Matthew 25, where Christ declares how the saints took care of him, again I say it's a two-for-one deal. When we think of Father's Day for tomorrow, we should think about how we show honor and respect in every aspect of our lives. There's a song by Chris Rice that's called Face of Christ, and it's kind of about that section of Scripture, and it talks about how he's interacting with a person he's visiting in prison, and they're struggling, and they've kind of given up, you know. Or there's this guy living on the street, and he spends an evening with, sleeps with him, you know, gets his own sleeping bag and spends the evening with him on the street. And he says, who am I looking at? And if I look closely, am I seeing the face of Christ? And it's the same concept of caring for others as you would care for God. It's so easy to honor God sometimes. You know, you think about it. God's perfect. He's never wrong. If he were right here and he was telling me to do something, oh, yes, sir. No problem. No question. I'll do it. Well, this response to God is a response we can have for every human being, because every one of us is created for the purpose of entering that family, the family of God. no matter whether the person knows it or not, in the end, that's why we're here. And that's a wonderful thing to be thinking on, especially when it's hard to respect somebody. Honor your father and mother. Honor the gray head. Honor your boss. Honor the stranger. Honor the king. Honor all people as you would show honor to God. Two for one is a great deal. Don't miss out on this great deal.